When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
It's always a joy here on the Official Jets Podcast when we are joined by ESPN's Adam Schefter. Adam, so great to see you down here at the league meetings in Orlando, Florida.
Nice to see you, Eric. Nice to be with you again.
How is everything going for you progressing here this offseason?
Well,
you don't have an offseason.
Yeah, it never stops. The league gets to be more and more relentless. I think we're through the thick of free agency. That's a good thing. Jets have made some moves, and now I think it's on to the draft for most people.
What do you make of some of those moves that Jets GM Joe Douglas has made?
They've added a lot of really compelling players, and I think you could ask this question for almost all of them. Can they and will they stay healthy?
Yeah.
And if you could tell me right now that all these guys are going to stay healthy this year, then they're going to have a great year, the Jets. And if they can't stay healthy, they're not.
Would you have been surprised if I told you before free agency started and the league year commenced that the Jets were going to land John Simpson and trade for Morgan Moses and then get Tyron Smith at the end of that?
Well, I would have been surprised probably by those three names, but I would not have been surprised at the effort and energy and resources put into the offensive line. Look, we knew that they were going to do something to beef up the offensive line and improve it, right? No matter what. Now, it was just a combination or question of what was going to be the combination that they were going to go get. And I didn't know that that would be the trio, Morgan Moses, Tyron Smith, and John Simpson, but that's what it turned out to be. And again, if Tyron Smith is healthy, and he hasn't been, that's a great move. Morgan Moses has been pretty reliable, and John Simpson will be reliable. But Tyron Smith, we don't know. Mike Williams is coming off an ACL. You think he's going to be healthy, but we still have to see. Aaron Rodgers coming off the torn Achilles.
Yeah.
We think he's going to be healthy, but you have to wait and see. And so there's a lot of wait and sees. And while you wait and see, you wonder, well, if they're playing, these guys have a chance to be really good and really competitive. And if one or two or three of them are not playing, well, you saw what happens last year when there's injuries.
Right. Did you like the move picking up Mike Williams, the guy who's been
one of
the best deep threats in the National Football League when he's been on the field?
When he's healthy, he's tremendous. And I had a chance to speak to him Saturday for my podcast, and he believes he's going to be ready for opening day. He's excited about the idea. He still hadn't spoken to Aaron Rodgers on Saturday. So said, hey, I still had his number. I would give it to you.
What do you make of his personality? He's so engaging, isn't he, Mike?
A nice guy.
Yeah.
Very nice guy. Yeah, like I said, first time I talked to him at length like that.
Right.
And he's excited about the idea of being in New York. He loved his ham and egg and cheese sandwich. He's looking forward to more of them, as we talked about on the podcast. And he was a very nice, engaging guy.
You'll like this. I actually went to my local pizza place the other day, and they said, hey, why are you doing the egg sandwiches? How about the pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different things you could do, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, you want to come to New York, you're not going to lack for good food.
Yeah, that's true.
New York and New Jersey. I include New York metropolitan area. I want to be very clear. Okay.
Of course, Long Island, the city.
Connecticut,
New Jersey.
Yeah,
yes.
All of it.
Everybody's included. Aaron Rodgers, like you said, 40, going to enter a season when he's going to be 41 in December. It feels much differently being here at league meetings than it did last spring because we were talking about what's going to happen.
Get it done.
Yeah, right.
That was the story. In fact, I remember, true story, I was checking into my hotel room at the Biltmore in Arizona, and I was walking up the pathway to get to the room with the Jets general manager, Joe Douglas.
There you go.
And who's coming right at us? and we stop and talk. But the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst.
Wow.
And it was the three of us as I was checking into the hotel. And I thought, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously the deal got done, if I remember correctly, 2-3 weeks later. The trade got consummated. And
Well, you're the one who had it, of course.
Trade got consummated, and it was obviously a huge deal. Obviously a different energy around the whole thing. And now the question, again, as we've talked about, is can he stay healthy? Can he be healthy? Will he be healthy? If he is, look, he runs out on the field. We were there that night.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable, the energy in the building. And then, boom, all that energy was sucked right out of the building the moment he went down.
You've been to so many events. What was that night like, September 11th?
There aren't many that have gone that high in emotion and finished that low. And I remember at the end of the game, you know, I live in the New York area, and I have so many friends who are Jet fans,
right,
diehard Jet, and they text me all excited that they won the game in overtime. And I'm thinking, you don't get it.
Yeah.
You won the battle and lost the war.
Right.
Like, it's over. It's over. Yeah, you won. Enjoy tonight, because there aren't going to be many more happy nights in this season. And that was how I felt that night.
Mm.
And I remember feeling that as I went on the late Sports Center with Scott Van Pelt and getting the word that they believed it was an Achilles. Mm. And obviously needed the test to confirm that it was torn, which came back the next morning. But it was surreal, because when he ran out with that flag on that day with that energy, it was unbelievable. And then minutes later, he's down, and you know that it's serious, and you're like, man. So just a night with incredible highs and lows.
He's always carried such a chip on his shoulder throughout his career.
Yeah.
What do you think the mentality, the mindset's going to be like,
you know,
for him now, this time around?
Eric, what I would say, I don't really care about the chip.
Yeah.
I mean, the chip has helped him get to where he is and be who he is. But the fact of the matter is, the chip isn't going to, I don't believe, play a part in whether he can stay on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they need him to do.
Yeah.
They need him to be on the field and to be healthy. And if he can do that, then everything's great. And you just want him out there.
Yeah.
You want to see what he can do with this organization and these players in this offense. And if he can do that, then that's great. And the chip doesn't enter into that, in my mind.
That's fair. Robert Saleh is going to be addressing the media at the AFC Coaches Breakfast here Monday morning. Mm-hmm. He actually talked earlier today, and he said that it's been a quiet offseason for the Jets. Would you agree?
So far, so good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, again, last year everybody was waiting for them to trade for Aaron Rodgers, and so now Aaron Rodgers is there. Now you're waiting to see how they shore up the positions around Aaron Rodgers, and they've done a good job of that. But with all the respect, signing John Simpson and trading for Morgan Moses, they're headlines, absolutely, but they're not the big splash. Oh, my God, look what happened here, the way that landing Aaron Rodgers would be. So they've done what they're supposed to do. Joe Douglas has done a nice job adding the pieces he should. And, again, can they all stay on the field and stay healthy?
Yeah, as somebody so familiar with the deals all throughout the league, no surprise, I would imagine, the way he structured these contracts with some of these guys?
Incentives. I mean, listen, you know, the reason for that, obviously, I think Aaron Rodgers is the impetus for a lot of that, because they saw what he went through, and they don't want to bring in another veteran, have him go down for injury, and be on the hook for all that money. So the idea is, if they play, and they play well, they're going to earn what should be their salaries. And if they don't play, the Jets have a little bit of a built-in cushion there to protect themselves in the event that these guys don't play the extended season. That's the idea. And by the way, well, if Aaron Rodgers isn't here, would they still be adding Tyron Smith? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Would they be structuring his deal, Mike Williams' deal, the way they are? I don't know. Would Mike Williams come with that Aaron Rodgers? Probably not. So, you know, it's all stemming from and off of Aaron Rodgers, his presence and what he's been through.
You're hoping he plays 17 games, and the Jets fans are,
everybody would love to see that, right?
Want to see him in the postseason for the first time in green and white.
What is the playoff drought, 13 years?
It's going back to 2010, the divisional
years.
Playoffs. Yeah, divisional
it's
playoffs.
A long time.
When they took down the Patriots at Gillette Stadium.
I remember that game.
What do you think? God bless you, sir. To Rod Taylor. Yeah. So the reason why I bring him into the conversation is you said it was over after Aaron went down. Do you still like the move if Rodgers does have to miss a couple games or whatever?
Well, I like Tyrod Taylor. Yeah. I think he's a good quarterback, and he's never gotten a fair shake, and he's never been able to play an extended season. I've always felt like he was capable of doing really good things. But do I think that Tyrod Taylor can get this team where it wants to go? I wonder. Anybody would.
Right.
I don't know that he can get this team, obviously, as far as Aaron Rodgers can. I mean, that just common sense. But Tyrod Taylor's a good quarterback, and that's a good veteran backup pickup.
Any news on the Zach Wilson front? We know the Jets gave him and his team permission to go out there and seek a trade.
Well, you think at some point in the offseason they're going to move on from him, right? I mean, that seems to be a foregone conclusion. The question is how and when that comes, and it just hasn't happened yet. And I think, you know, there's money involved in there that I think he's owed $4.2 million, and we've seen other quarterbacks get traded this offseason. Mac Jones went for a six, and Justin Fields went for a conditional six. And so I think you begin to see where the market is, and he hasn't really even accomplished what some of those guys have. So it's just really, I think, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
We'll see how the draft plays out as well.
Yeah.
What do you make of the changing landscape of the AFC East? The Bills got to make some cost-cutting moves. Miami, I think you would say, is the same category, and New England in a period of transition.
Well, the division's there. If they again, here's the only thing that I would say to you: if all these guys stay healthy, they have a chance to have a good season. If they don't, it's not going to be the kind of season that Jet fans want. If you can tell me Aaron Rodgers is going to play a full year, not miss any time or any extended time, if you can tell me Tyron Smith's going to play a full season, not miss any extended time, Mike Williams, same thing, sign me up. Sign everybody up. They're going to be good. If some of those guys are missing, all bets are off.
What are you most looking forward to here this week?
Oh, it's just nice to see people because, I think in the world we live in, you know, I work out of my home office so often, you don't come face-to-face very often with a lot of people. So you have, you know, every organization well represented here, and it's nice to see some of the people one final time because I may not see them again till, you know, maybe the summer training camp, maybe the training camp.
You come to One Jet Drive during the summer, right?
We'll see. Maybe. possible. I never know. Like, if I'm going to be out there, I would imagine there's a possibility I'll be out there for a day. We'll see.
Yeah, we got to put that on the table. The draft positioning for the Jets, 10th overall. What do you make of where they're at after these first waves of free agency?
Well, that's the great part about it, Eric, is that they address so many needs that they don't have to come away with anything.
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, I don't mind the idea of, hey, if there's a guy like a J.J. McCarthy still sitting there in Minnesota or Denver or Las Vegas or somebody wants to come up and they want to move up to the Jets spot and the Jets get extra picks, like, nothing wrong with that, too. But they have options. And if there's somebody they love there at 10, whether that's one of those offensive linemen, which I still – that would be my vote, an offensive lineman still – Brock Bowers, whoever it may be, whatever they want to do, they're going to have some good options. And they've taken the pressure off them, I think, by what they've done during free agency.
Well, finally, a great transition by you, of course, J.J. McCarthy. You are a Michigan man.
Yeah.
What do you make of him as an NFL prospect? And what's the word right now about a month away from the draft?
Well, I think, if this is even possible, I think his stock is rising, which I always laugh. He hasn't played any games, but
right.
I think people have come around on the fact that they recognize he's a really good quarterback. And he's a really positive, upbeat, energetic guy. He's a guy you want to be around. I personally like the young man. Like, he's an engaging...
He's got it.
He's a pretty cool guy. And he's a pretty mature guy, and he gets it, I think. And I think other teams are onto that. And I'm not a Johnny-come-lately either. My college buddies and I are on a text chain. I pointed this out before. I'll point it out again. It's not going to be the last time. But my college buddies were complaining, why is he coming out? I'm like, why is he coming out? Why do you think he's coming out? They say he's going to be a mid-round pick. I'm like, mid-round pick? Mm. He's going to be a first-round pick. And they said, no, mid-round pick. And me and about 10 of my college buddies, well, one of them, we bet dinner for the entire group. I said JJ would be a one. Yeah. This was in December. The other guy said he would be – I said if he goes anywhere two or beyond, I lose the bet, and I buy this group dinner. So we have a big dinner.
How big is the group?
10 people.
Okay.
You know, it'll be, you know, at a nice place, not a cheap dinner. Sure, there'll be some drinking going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel very confident and comfortable that J.J. McCarthy is going to be buying me and my friends dinner courtesy of I'm not going to expose his name. I won't mention his name right here. But
okay.
But, yeah, one of my college roommates, I expect him to be buying us dinner.
Great seeing you, brother.
Eric, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. And continue to enjoy.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good offseason.
Thanks, buddy. We're joined here on the Official Jets Podcast by Tom Pelissero, NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, down in Orlando, Florida. The annual league meetings. You brought out the pinstripes today. Looking impeccable.
I've learned through the years of this event that wearing the dark suit generally ends up being a bad move. Looked like it was going to be really hot today, but I was just out there, and it's actually very windy, so it might not have mattered, but we're doing the Insiders Live 1 p.m. Eastern time, both Monday and Tuesday here from the league meeting. Got great guests lined up, so I don't want to be, you know, schwitzing all over the place.
Nice plug. What should we know about league rule proposals and what's going to happen here?
Well, they were debating them this morning. Yeah. To my knowledge, check my phone real fast, they've not yet voted. You know, both the kickoff and the swivel hip drop tackle are both going to be debated. And, you know, the hip drop is such a priority for the league. And you've heard Roger Goodell say it. Troy Vincent has said it. Rich McKay has said it. Everybody wants it out. Nobody walks out of that room going, we want to keep that play in the game. And so I think the one way or another that's going to get passed, it's going to be a matter of, you know, do they feel like they can push it through here? And again, that entirely possible that's what happens, but there's going to be enough questions raised. Is the language consistent enough? It doesn't sound like it's going to be a big penalizing on the field thing out of the gate. I bet you see a bunch of flags and fines in the preseason as they're just trying to correct technique. You know, is it going to make a huge difference in games? I think that above all else, they just want to make sure that nobody's teaching that style of tackling. Like, it's not a strategy. With the kickoff, you know, that's another one that the league has been pushing this for years. I think this will be the fourth time in 5 years they've changed the kickoff rule. So special teams coordinators have been, you know, going round and round on this. But they've been consulted throughout the process. Last year, when they made the legislation about the fair catch that we did see, and that was essentially like punishing the special teams coordinators and the coaches, like, hey, you didn't come up with anything better, so now it's just a dead play. Well, they don't want a ceremonial dead play, right, as Troy Vincent called it back in December. They want it to have some excitement. And so they're coming up with this new thing. They're not calling it the XFL kickoff. It's the NFL hybrid kickoff. You're going to be in a setup zone at the 40 and the 35, and then there's a landing zone where you need the ball to land. And then if you kick it past the landing zone, then that's a touchback. Then now it's going to come out to the 30, not the 35, which was what the original proposal was. So this has been tweaked. Yada, yada, yada. It's going to lead to a play that what they want to do is reduce the space and the speed, because what they've been charged with by the NFL is come up with a way to make this an exciting play with lots of returns, but also an injury rate we can stomach. Because they always cite that it's however many X injuries on kickoffs versus any other play. And so I think it's going to be fascinating to see. I do think that it's going to, you're going to have fewer high-speed collisions. That's going to, you would think, lead to fewer injuries over the course of time. But there's definitely skepticism among some of the coaches I've talked to here about what exactly this is going to look like. I mean, I had one head coach telling me yesterday his concern is you're going to have too many big plays on kickoffs. Because he goes, imagine like we're playing cover zero. It's a zero blitz. If you get through that initial hole, you're gone. Well, now, if you look at the drawings, the renderings, that's what it is it's everybody's lined up here. Well, if they all get blocked up and you get through the first thing, are you going to have just a ton of kick return touchdowns? Is that going to overemphasize that part of the game? Strategically, it's going to be really interesting because, again, special teams coordinators, every year they've got a new rule. This one, you know, has the possibility to have maybe some unintended consequences, but to the extent that the league wants an exciting play that's not going to get people hurt, this is the best idea they've come up with yet.
That's interesting. How concerned is the league as far as scoring being down over the last couple of years?
That's part of it, too. Yeah. I mean, when you have, I can't remember the exact numbers, but I want to say it's been cut by like 3/4 the number of kick return yards. There were no kick returns in the Super Bowl. And they attribute that in part to field position, the lack of big plays. It has changed the fabric of the game to a degree. And there's a lot of other factors involved with it. But this is definitely one of them where last year, you know, everybody could stand up and, you know, go get a beer on the kickoff and you weren't going to miss anything. The NFL doesn't want that. It's the same reason we now have 38-yard extra points because they looked at that and it was like, well, these are being converted at 99%. Yeah. Well, ask some of the kickers who have lost their jobs because of it. You know, the fact that now they have to make essentially a mid-range field goal however many times in the game. That's not really the NFL's concern. It's how do you make every play worth watching? How do you make every moment exciting? The kickoff last year was not an exciting play. It was a dead play to a large degree. I still have real questions about the onside kick aspect because there was talk among the special teams coordinators about maybe allowing like slight overload formations, like 6 on one side, 4 on the other side, or being able to motion someone. If you read the proposal, that doesn't exist. It's still 5-5. Mm. So the onside kick, which has been virtually impossible, remains virtually impossible. The Eagles, like they do every year, propose the 4th-and-20 alternative to the onside kick. It has not to this point gained traction. Some people just think it's too gimmicky. It's too far afield. You can't go that direction. But until they come up with some way that when there's 4 minutes to go and you score a touchdown to get down 2 scores, you have, you know, until you can create a way to get back into the game, they have to continue talking about these things. Because right now, you know, one of the beauties of the NFL has been for years, like there weren't a lot of deficits late in games that were insurmountable because you did have, you know, even if it was a 10 or 15% recovery rate, that's way better than the 3% or whatever it is now.
Right.
Now it's like, all right, well, we know this isn't going to work.
It's academic.
And it's, again, that's another dead play. So that's one aspect I'm interested to see. Does that get changed? Does that get tabled for further discussion? We'll see on the 4th-and-20 thing, but the Eagles, like I said, they propose it every single year, and it hasn't gotten anywhere yet.
All right, fans, as opposed to getting up and getting that beer at the stadium, you might have to order a beer, have somebody get you a beer.
Do they have that at MetLife Stadium?
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah,
okay, good.
Definitely.
Fantastic.
All right, so what do you think about the Jets' free agency to date? We've been through multiple tiers. We talked to you in Indianapolis before.
Yeah, how did my predictions come out? I can't remember who I predicted. I'm pretty sure it was wrong.
Well, I remember Case Keenum. That was your wild card.
That's right.
That was definitely wild.
Tyrod Taylor, kind of in the same vein.
Yeah.
I'll give myself a half a point. I had the right idea of how they would get one. Who did I say for receiver? Is it Mike Williams?
I don't know if you had Mike Williams. We can pull that up.
You're supposed to know this.
Yes, I know.
I wrote it out real fast for you. I remember doing it. I just don't remember what I wrote.
Yeah, I got to pull that up.
Okay, well, anyway, Mike Williams, you know, significant addition. It's an incentive-laden contract. And, you know, if he plays well and comes back from the ACL and produces, they'll be very happy. Because Mike Williams, when he's on, I mean, he's a big, strong receiver that you have on the perimeter. Just, like, you know, exactly the type of guy that Aaron Rodgers would like to have at that position. So I thought that was a significant addition. They obviously, you know, wanted to address the offensive line. I know that there were, you know, based on the number of signings on Monday, there were, I'm sure, Jets fans who were stressed out, like, what's going on? And then Joe Douglas went on that late night run where he signed Tyrod, and he signed John Simpson as well. And
traded
for Morgan Moses. And then you bring in Tyron Smith. Yeah. You know, you can't say they didn't try to address it. Listen, Tyron's dealt with a lot of injuries. He's got a bad knee. He doesn't practice a whole lot, but he still is such a huge guy. Like, he can engulf people. If he's healthy, you know, you're probably going into this not thinking, all right, we can get 17 games out of Tyron Smith plus playoffs. That's probably not realistic, but can we get 12, 14 games out of him and then have him healthy at the end of the season. That's really the focus. I would imagine that they really manage his reps, you know, do everything that they have to do to make sure that he gets into the postseason. But, you know, if you have to in a pinch play Morgan Moses over there, or you have to, I know they want to keep Elijah Vera Tucker in one spot. I think he's going to be the right guard. Simpson's the left guard. You know, they've done a lot with that group. And I think that that's, you know, that's significant when you think back to what the primary issues were last year. Yes, you lose the quarterback after four snaps. You probably don't have a chance no matter what. But you really don't have a chance when you're playing 13 or 14 different offensive linemen and your second, third, fourth quarterbacks.
These contracts have a lot of incentives. No surprise, I would imagine, from your perspective. But with that being said, were you surprised what happened with Tyron Smith, how the market kind of – okay, nobody jumped early.
But Tyron took a cut last year.
Yeah.
He was making right around the same amount. I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say he took a cut down to like $5 million with upside. Jets gave him, what, 6.5 with upside? So, no, it's not a huge shock just because, again, he's missed a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, he has. His body's been through a lot, and he's got that knee that he's always got to manage. But when he's on, when he's playing, he's still playing at a Pro Bowl type of a level. So you're just hoping that you can get him there. You're hoping that you've given yourself enough options in terms of, you know, if something does happen to him, how do you rearrange everybody? There's still other offensive linemen out there, but they got, in terms of, you know, just pure left tackles, they got the best one out there. It's merely a matter of how many games do you get out of them? And those games in December and January, I know they all count the same up until the playoffs, but those are ultimately where you're going to, you know, make your hay. It's not in those games in September. And if they need to hold them back a little bit, they need to take some snaps off and whatever it is, I would anticipate they'll do that.
Everybody emphasizes continuity along that offensive line. The Jets are going to have three new starters with Dave Foreman mentioned Simpson, Moses, Tyron Smith. How much does a healthy Aaron Rodgers help those guys?
It's huge. And Aaron, you know, listen, him and Nathaniel Hackett have a very special relationship. Those guys are going to be, you know, they're going to be in sync. I think that if there was any lesson out of, oh, we got my board.
Yeah.
Ridley.
Calvin Ridley.
Missed him.
Signs a big contract with Tennessee.
Did get a big contract. Well, Fuaga. I'll save it.
You still got Fuaga.
listen. I think that the cautionary thing, if you saw of those four snaps, right, and it's an extremely small sample size, but Aaron gets hit on two of them last year. Mm-hmm. The second one he tears his Achilles. I think that when you've seen Aaron Rodgers at his best in his career, yes, he can extend plays. Yes, he can do some unbelievable things on the run out of the pocket. But he's 40 years old. And he probably needs to be the Aaron Rodgers who's running. They're running the football, and then it's the backside options, and it's, hey, boom, getting it out. One-step routes, smoke routes, slants. It's getting the football out of his hands. If you take a lot of hits, and I'm sure he's doing a million different things and things I've never even heard of to get his body right for this season.
Yeah.
But realistically, like, you need to get the ball out of your hands more often. And I think that when you go back, I get it. He's in a new place. He's always played like that. You might not be able to play like that all the time anymore. You have that tool in your toolbox. You don't want to have to go to the toolbox all the time. So what he can do to help the offensive line is get the football out of his hands. He's not have to block 40 true dropbacks every time. Because a lot of the stuff, a lot of his passing yards and stuff, if you go back to the Packers days, and this is something that, you know, the Packers sort of invented with Brett Favre in the 90s, was, you know, this idea, and you see it all over the league now, which is you have these zone running plays, and on the back side of it, you have some type of route built in. And you see one-on-one there, you like the route, you like the alignment, you just chuck it out there. Aaron did that all the time, which is why sometimes when it was, hey, he threw the ball 45 times, why didn't you run it more? It's like, well, yeah, half of those were called run plays. And Hackett's entire offense was built to give Rodgers the authority at the line of scrimmage, not to audible, not to change the play, but it was he could have a bunch of different plays all available to him at the line. A lot of that's going to be built on the, hey, it's the three-step drop, take a shot. It's one-step route. It's all these different things. That's what he's done really well throughout the course of his career. That's what's going to help keep him healthy, take the pressure off the offensive line, elevate everybody around him, which is what the Jets brought him in to do.
What do you make of the edge market out there right now? Bryce Huff, of course, signs the lucrative deal in free agency. I think a lot of people were expecting that. The Jets do have Jermaine Johnson made a huge seismic jump in year two. Mm-hmm. John Franklin Myers, a versatile piece up there. Will McDonald, they took 15th overall in last April's draft. They hosted Jadeveon Clowney at the complex last week. Jets fans are circling Clowney. What do you think about the possibility there?
I mean, Clowney's been on, you know, a series. I think he's had a 2-year deal in there somewhere, but he's more or less played his whole career on 1-year deals. And, last year he came off a strong season. So you would anticipate the market's going to be a little bit richer for him this year as he get close to $15 million. We'll see. You know, there's probably going to be a bunch of incentives that are built into it. Yeah, I mean, it could be something different, but at this stage in his career, he was the number one pick in, what, 2014? He's probably better off just doing 1-year deals. You never know. I mean, you could do a longer one with him, but he's shown the appetite to continue to go year to year throughout the course of his career here. I think the fact that the Jets have invested what they have in the defensive line probably gives them a little bit more flexibility to wait and see whose prices come down into their range. I mean, Bryce Huff goes and gets, what, $18-19 million from the Eagles? Like, good for him, man. Yeah. I mean, they were getting offered like late round picks for him in camp last year, and Joe wisely did not take any of those offers. But, you know, he's somebody who, you know, grew into it. And maybe now with, you know, him not being there, maybe this is where Will McDonald, you see him step in and take on a bigger role. Obviously, Jermaine is just one of the baddest dudes that you're going to see on the field.
He really is.
John Franklin Myers. There'll be somebody out there. There's enough pass rushers. There are veterans available. Clowney at this point is, you know, the top guy, but you're also going to have to beat out the likes of Baltimore to, you know, trying to bring him back.
Yeah, 9.5 sacks last year, a career high for Clowney. How about the flexibility maybe Joe Douglas has right now entering the draft? He's got 7 picks, 10th overall. We'll have to see how the quarterbacks shake out at the top of the draft, but after addressing the offensive line, even though you got to keep these guys healthy, we know that. Some tinkering on the defensive side of the ball, but this still should be one of the top units in the National Football League. How do you think this sets up for them as far as the draft is concerned now?
Well, I think that you've got enough of a base built that you do have a lot of different options, and you filled some of your needs offensive line-wise through free agency and a trade. You signed Mike Williams, who, you know, became available here. I think there's a lot of different options there. I mean, you're not taking a running back up that high. No. You got Breece, and there's no running backs that are really – you know, that you want to take up there. But, you know, could you take a running back in the second round where there's a bunch of good players? Yeah, it's certainly a possibility. You know, in terms of with their top pick, I think that there's a lot of different directions that you can go.
Right.
I think that the fact that those top picks, probably going to be a lot of quarterbacks, sets up well for teams that don't need one to be taking one high. So, you know, from the Jets' perspective here, I think that they're in a good position. We were talking about them last year. Are they going to win the Super Bowl? It's largely the same group. It's a lot of the same pieces here. So just, I don't think you need, you know, big wave types of stuff. I think that whether you draft a receiver, you draft another lineman, you draft somebody on defense, I think there's a bunch of different ways. Go get another good football player on a pretty talented roster, and let's see what happens.
This was awesome. Let's end here. What do you think about the message from Robert Saleh this morning? I know you were working 16 respective tables, so you're not able to take in each of these 30-minute sessions, but something stuck out to me when he said that, hey, you don't win in the offseason. Winning is about winning games in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the lesson out of last year, right? Again, I don't know how much you can read into anything that happened last year because you lost the guy who your entire offense was built for after 4 snaps. And you had to play people who weren't supposed to be playing, like Zach, who was supposed to, you know, sit for the entire year here. I think that after all the hype of last year, and Saleh is certainly somebody who's like aware kind of the environment around the team.
Yep.
And this, everything was building toward this, and it was at a fever pitch going into last year. So then, you know, everybody forgets those first, what, 6 games after Aaron gets hurt. They battled, and they won some games, and Zach played well at times. But, you know, realistically, you weren't going to win the Super Bowl once Aaron went down. You probably weren't going to make the playoffs, even if everything fell right. Now, the expectations are far lower. Mm. The last thing they're going to do is start amping them up again. It's let's actually get to the games and then decide who's going to win them.
Appreciate your time, as always, Derek. Tom.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.